Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff here.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk Rumble. Now it's live.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast. I am Corporate Chopper and I'm joined today by Randy, Andy Datsun.
Hi Chopper, how are you? I'm going to miss you when you're gone.
Yeah,
I know. I'm going to miss you when you're gone. Whatever that song is.
I'm going to miss me too. Hi, how are you today, mate?
I'm all right. Is it next week that you're...
That you're
heading off, yeah.
And the week after,
yeah. Chopper's been sent on a business trip by Mr. Davis to try and recruit some other members to the Oli Authority. So he won't be here for 2 weeks. He's going to be scouring the planet.
Yes,
I imagine
the planet.
Mm.
It's really easy to do that these days.
Yeah, you're going to be scouring Tier 2 London.
Yes,
which is the same thing.
We've got lots of stuff to talk about today, but first let's go ahead and jump into the review of SmackDown, where first things first, we're going to be talking about something that didn't actually happen on SmackDown, it happened on Talking Smack, but Daniel Bryan is retiring. Here's the show. Let's talk about Daniel Bryan. First things first, let's talk about what he actually did on SmackDown, and then we'll get into talking about his little retirement bit that he did, which was on Talking Smack. So on this show, he was actually in the opening segment with Kevin Owens. It was the KO show that Kevin was hosting. He brought out Daniel Bryan as his guest, and I thought there were a couple of really interesting teasers on this KO show segment. Because the two of them speaking together, I think they both bounce off each other very naturally. Obviously, they have quite the storied history together. They know each other very, very well. Similar senses of humor and things like that. And Daniel Bryan was saying, you know, with his vision for SmackDown, what he'd want is the Intercontinental Championship to be defended every week while he's there, which was a nice idea for starters. And also, it just feeds into Daniel Bryan being a lovable workhorse babyface. Love that guy. He's great. But then Kevin Owens says that he's never won a tag team championship and he wants to tag with Daniel Bryan. And I'm like, that's also very interesting. Spicy. I also loved that bit as well. I don't know if this line was scripted or not, but just when Kevin Owens just goes, you know, I've never won a tag team championship. Daniel Bryan just goes, yeah, you've turned on a lot of your friends. And then Kevin just kind of stumbles for a bit. And goes, I'm just going to gloss over that and just carry on.
Yeah, no, I really enjoyed this. I thought the interesting part for me particularly was when he said, talk about the Intercontinental Championship, want to defend it every week, because as we said, later he appeared on Talking Smack. And one of the things he said on there was that he wants to put, he's like, not everyone wants to put over young talent. So whether this is going to be a John Cena kind of open challenge, a Cody open challenge thing, if Bryan was to win the belt from Sammy, I mean, it's not going to be this weekend because there's no match, but I mean, again, it won't be a Survivor Series. So is it TLC?
Random SmackDown match.
Yeah, possibly, again. But if he were to win it, it could be like 2021 could be the year of Daniel Bryan putting over people and on his way out. Because as we know, he also said that this could be, and it likely will be, he's seeing this as his final run in the company. And from what we understand, his current contract expires in September 2021, which means he's only got about 11 months left on his contract.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Touch wood for no, like, you know, injuries or anything. We want his run to be as long as possible. And like you said, him just putting over talent for a whole year would be amazing. Daniel Bryan is so good at putting other people over.
Yeah.
Even if he wins a match, he's really good at getting people over in defeat.
And if he doesn't want to, like, he doesn't have to win every single match either. He can lose and drop the belt and then keep challenging for it and put someone else over it in that way. And then you just keep having matches with all these people. But, like, so here's my fancy booking for Daniel Bryan's retirement. So Daniel Bryan retires.
That's amazing.
And he never has another match against The Undertaker in Saudi Arabia in 4 years' time. I just want him to go out, have a retirement match, and go and be a dad. Go and, like, look back on the crazy career he's had. Like, genuinely one of the most astonishing wrestlers of our generation. Like, the way that he I cannot think of anyone who's captured my kind of, I know it's fake, but he's a baby face and I love him and I want him to win. Like, no one's ever captured me like that, like he did going into WrestleMania 30. And he's a once in a generation guy. And I really hope that, I mean, and he doesn't seem like the sort of person who would, WWE could just go, yeah, but here's $1 million. And he'd go, ah, yeah, I need, because, I mean, let's face it, Daniel Bryan doesn't need $1 million. I mean, he's one of the top paid guys in the company. He has been for a decade. He's going to be fine.
Yeah, totally. And I think the interesting part for me is that this may be the end of his full-time run, but we could still get him back for not Saudi matches, but big WrestleMania matches. He could make a surprise appearance in a Royal Rumble every now and again. Like, there's things and stuff for him
to do, which I'd
really appreciate. Which would be really great for him.
I also respect how much he wants to get Talking Smack over. He loves Talking Smack. I mean, those days where he was having arguments with the Miz and that sort of stuff, that was some of the best stuff WWE was putting on. And now Talking Smack's back. He's like, how can I make this? Oh, yeah, I'm going to tell everyone that I'm retiring. Mm-hmm. And they'll be like, hey, that means people will want to watch Talking Smack now.
Yeah.
Not the same without Renee. And Raw Talk this week, obviously, Raw Talk has never been anywhere near as good. I don't know what it is about Talking Smack. I don't know whether it's because it's got Daniel Bryan on it. But yeah, it's actually something you should tune into, because unlike Raw Talk, things actually happen. on Talking Smack. I love Daniel Bryan. I don't begrudge him at all if he wants to stop wrestling. It's like the same with AJ Styles. While he's got some unusual views on the world, he's been wrestling for however long, and he said, "Do you know what? I'm done. I've had my fill. I just want to go and watch my son play football. Got a young daughter. I just want to go and spend time with her." I'm like,
that's fair.
Cool. I don't know why I did one thumb up and the other with a fist. Cool, man.
I totally agree with you. I think Brian, I'm hoping, because he's got a fair amount of creative influence as well, from what we're being told in reports and such, I'm hoping that he gets the kind of book that maybe like the last six months of his run. He'll just be like, okay, I want to face these people. I want to make sure that I have really good feuds with this collection of people, and we'll make it work. Like, him having a mid-card to upper mid-card feud with Cesaro would be amazing.
I knew you were going to say that.
Him just trying to put over Big E more. Him coming in and wrestling Kevin Owens and wrestling Sami Zayn and just being like, I want to make sure that I have the best match I can have with each of these guys before I go. I'd love to see that. I think it'd be amazing.
is going to get retired by Baron Corbin.
Please don't. Please don't. Please.
It's going to be a 2-on-1 handicap match. Baron Corbin and Lars Sullivan retire Daniel Bryan at Backlash.
You're banned from the SmackDown podcast as of right now. Can't have those opinions on this stream. Right here.
Also, you exposed the fact that we've got very small backdrops.
Who cares? moving on. But yes, that wasn't the only bit with Daniel Bryan on this show. As after the kind of fun back and forth with Kevin Owens, every other tag team on SmackDown came out. And I do mean that literally, because Rudy Ziggler came out and said something. Street Profits came out and said, "We're the champions." And then Cesaro and Nakamura came out and said, "We used to be the champions." Ooh. Holla, holla, 4-on-4 tag match, players. So yeah, it was Rude Ziggler, Cesaro, Nakamura versus Street Profits, Kevin Owens and Daniel Bryan. Bryan somehow got into his ring gear, even though he was in a suit.
Yes.
On the KO show.
Like he was wearing one of those suits, which is just the front, and actually on the back, it's nothing. And he just sort of went, "Huh."
Yeah,
and it was all off. Yeah, I mean, I guess they're used to doing it quickly, but I also guess that SmackDown is, there was a break in between, wasn't it?
There was an ad break.
Yeah. There was a brief
even,
ad break.
Even
yeah.
so, it just looked like he must have had his ring gear on underneath his suit.
Right, Daniel, we're off air.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably what did happen.
Yeah.
But because I don't think he was there on the apron when the match started. I think he came in later after the match had already begun, just because I doubt he was actually ready. But oh god, you get back. But the match itself I thought was kind of fun. It was fine to start with. Daniel Bryan is so good that he can even make me care about a 4-on-4 throwaway tag match. He pretended to tweak his knee after landing awkwardly from his backflip spot off the top rope, and his knee just got worked over for the rest of the match. And then Angelo Dawkins got a hot tag, and then everyone went mental. Everyone just went in and was just like, "I'm going to hit this move. I'm going to hit this move. This counter. This move over here. This move on the other side of the ring." It's like, what is happening?
They enjoyed the opening to this SmackDown premiere last week so much. I just thought, let's do that, but on a slightly smaller scale, where everyone just ran into the ring and started beating each other up. Nothing wrong with the match at all. Like, sometimes you just got to have a match. I mean, as far as we know, this episode of SmackDown was being written right up to the last second. So they were kind of like, "Oh, we need 20 minutes. You 8 guys, go and do a thing." The match ended with a massive Angelo. The height he gets. I don't know whether he gets so much height. That's what I said. I don't know whether it's he actually jumps higher or just the way he does, he moves his body. But it just looks like
he jumps higher.
About 3 times higher than anyone else I've ever seen.
He is a very springy man, for starters. His jump height is absurd, and he uses the bounciness of the ropes to just elevate him even higher, and he just doesn't care how high he goes. He's like, "I'm just going to jump as high as I can off here."
It's almost as high as Tamina's splash.
I know, yeah.
Like, genuinely, and Montez Ford and Bianca Belair must be the two most athletically gifted people married. They must be the most athletically gifted married couple in the world. Because you, like, see all of these records, like, because you know those NXT sort of trials they do where like, who's got the best deadlift? Who can jump the highest? It's like, Bianca Belair, Bianca Belair, Bianca Belair, Bianca Belair, Bianca Belair. I don't know. I haven't seen the men's one, actually, but I'm assuming Montez is on there somewhere with jump height.
Probably with jump height, yeah. You'd think. Know,
Otis actually has, like, the biggest deadlift, so there you go.
The more you know. But yeah, the match itself was fun. Babyfaces won. And then backstage afterwards, the babyfaces celebrating, but then Sami Zayn kind of accosts Daniel Bryan and says, "Hey, man, you know, I heard what you were saying out there about Intercontinental Championship being defended every week. Appreciate that, but also, I'm the champion, and when I'm the champion, I get to say what happens, so sorry, bud." Which is really cool. Again, I don't know what direction the story's going. I don't know if Owens is going to get involved in the Intercontinental Championship picture. I don't know whether it's just Bryan and Zayn. I don't know whether Bryan and Owens are going to be a tag team, but I don't care, because all of them sound really fun. So,
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if it's a... Owens and Bryan are friends, and then Owens turns on Bryan and sides.
Oh, that would
Sammy.
Be classic Owens, wouldn't it? Yes. Yeah. Turning on someone else. Turn him heel again. Why not? But yeah, now we'll actually go through kind of, I guess we're already kind of doing chronological what?
They just book Owens versus, no, Brian versus Zayn in Hell in a Cell, and then Brian is going to jump off, and then Owens pulls Zayn off the table at the last second to mirror what happened with Shane.
To mirror what happened with Shane. That would almost work if Brian was going to jump off the cell, but I don't think
he is.
Don't
want him to. Don't do that. We want you to retire next year.
Also, I don't want a fourth Hell in a Cell match tomorrow, please.
If you're wondering what's gone wrong with the Hell in a Cell match, head over to WrestleTalk.com, where I have explored that very fact in my latest What Went Wrong. It's really good.
Well, you know, you're also very humble.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Do you like wrestling? Do you like improv? Do you like role-playing games? And you'll love No Roles Barred, presented by the WrestleTalk Podcast Network. Six players come together to create a fictional wrestling promotion, roll dice, and create the kind of insanity that real companies can only dream of creating. Can Tony the Milkman survive the twilight of his career and still find time to care for his wrestling son? Can the Denimatrix overcome the vicious Apex and achieve total denimation? Can brothers Golden Joe and Silver Bro coexist as a tag team before they combust? Find out now with the wrestling show that everyone's talking about. No Roles Barred is available wherever you get your podcasts and only presented on the WrestleTalk Podcast Network.
We now need to say thank you to some very special people, and those are our $25 and above pledge hammers on Patreon. If you've not been over to WrestleTalk's Patreon page yet, you should. WrestleTalk Extra has gone live recently, which was Halloween Havoc 95, where Ollie and Luke review Halloween Havoc 95. It takes them like 3 hours to go through it. Oh, it's great. There's Monster Trucks and Lex Luger versus Meng, which has minus one star, according to the Wrestling Observer. Brilliant. Yeah, it's definitely worth your time. We've also got WrestleTalk After Dark coming up soon as well. So check it out for all sorts of bonus content. And if you pledge at the $25 or above tiers, you also get your very own personal wrestling name that gets read out on a show, much like this one. So thank you to I'm Batty Man, Nathan Batty. Woo!
Oh, go on, Batty Man. Please, sir, can I have some more Domhnall bags?
Woo! Yeah, thank you very much. Living in the past, Kieran Pryor. Woo! Thank you.
Xandermania running wild.
Woo, yes, thank you very much. Arnie K, the K, stands for the coolest dude ever.
Ah, woo. That's not how you spell cool. Kenyatta Ankle Lock Blaylock.
Woo, yes, thank you very much. Evil Eevee Dark Kitsune. Woo, yes, thank you very much.
The Gobbledykooker.
Woo, yes, thank you very much. Colin McLeaner than Finn Balor. Woo, thank you. Is.
Order of Merit, Whitelow.
Ooh, yes, thank you very much. Martin Santoya talking to me. Woo!
Yes, I thank was. You. Jim Possible Prendergast.
Woo! Thank you very much. Blompier's number one fan, Tom Delves. Woo! Yes, thank you.
And finally, the sassy Southern Belle, Morgan Day Evans, whatever your name is. There's a fly in my face.
Morgan Evans. Actually, Morgan. Appreciate our Patreon backers. Thank you very
Morgan.
Much.
Morgan. Hey, Morgan she might Evans. Be well, in which case thank it, you it very could be much. Morgan.
Thank you very much. Morgan Evans. Sassy Southern Bell.
Sappy Southern.
Sappy Southern Bell. That's
I'm going to Sappy Bell.
Yes. Thank you very much for listening to this episode of the WrestleTalk podcast. Please press the video that just appeared on the screen to catch up with more awesome WrestleTalk stuff. Tune in for Hell in a Cell live reactions tomorrow and press the button in the middle and make you become a Pledge Hammer on Patreon. I've been Corporate Chopper. I've been joined by Randy Andy Datson. And that was Smack. But now we'll talk about the rest of the show. We were already sort of going in chronological order anyway, because that was the opening segment. But then we had, we'll talk about them all together. We had the Law and Otis skits through the night, which was the teased official legal stuff between Otis and The Miz that's been teased and delayed for a while. And it was basically just a bunch of skits. There were three of them throughout the night. And it was just them in a courtroom. JBL was the judge overseeing it, with Ron Simmons also there. And by the end of the first segment they did, with Miz kind of saying, you know, Otis is wrong. He's had Money in the Bank negligence. He's put me through emotional trauma and physical trauma and blah, 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 blah. And Otis just, his defense was, yeah, but I won Money in the Bank. And I was like, by the end of the first segment, I was like, you know what? This is really stupid, but I really like it. I feel like we could get some really funny skits here on the rest of the night. And we didn't get that because it got way less funny really quick.
Yeah, it did. It was kind of like they had a good idea.
Mm.
And then they just went, but we need it to be a lot longer than that. So let's
drag it out.
Screaming in Japanese.
Wait, we'll get there. We'll get there. Right. We'll get there. So yeah, after the first one, it was just a very basic Miz and Otis saying their piece. Miz fired the person he'd hired because she wanted to talk. And also I like the fact when Otis gave his defense, she turned to Miz and Morrison were laughing at each other, saying, and you want Money in the Bank, whatever. And she turns to Miz and just goes, that's a good argument. And Miz just looks at her just like really offended, just goes, you're fired.
To be fair, if you were in court and they said something, like the defense said something, and the prosecution went, well, "That's a really good point, actually."
It's a good point.
You would fire them. Like, no, you're not supposed to say that out loud, even if it's true. Don't blame me at all.
So yeah, so after the first one, I was feeling optimistic. I said, like, "You know what? This is pretty funny. I'm optimistic about this." But then the second one came in later on in the night, and it was a bunch of witnesses saying their accounts of what's happened with Otis's Money in the Bank run. And John Morrison is there saying he's got emotional scars, which wasn't all that funny. Miz gave him a thing to blow his nose, which was also supposed to be funny, I think. It wasn't. Rey Mysterio, I thought this was going to be hilarious, because as soon as I saw Rey, I was like, oh, he was in Money in the Bank. He got thrown off the roof. I was going to talk about how he like died, right? Being thrown off the roof. It's going to be really funny, like in meta joke. No, he said, I was there. Otis won. He should cash in when he wants. I was like, oh, okay.
Oh, Ray, your comedic timing is like you said, it's got progressively less interesting. Mm-hmm. Like it was like they went to Ray, mate, we haven't got anything for you to say, just imagine you're actually in court. What would you say? And he goes, Otis won. I fell onto a smaller roof.
If he'd have said that, I'd have passed it. If he'd have said, I was there, Otis won, I feel like he should cash in. You know, I was there, I got thrown off the roof. You know, even if he'd have just said that as like a little line into it, I would have been okay with it. But he didn't say that, and I'm very upset about it. But then after that, they had Asuka come on, who just said Japanese, which I thought was funny. Her just being like, just reading off Japanese, and everyone's being like, would have been very funny if they'd have just left it there. But then JBL turns to an unseen figure and just says, did you get any of that? And then suddenly Teddy Long's there. Former SmackDown general manager Teddy Long. And he said, I got every word. I was like, Teddy Long speaks Japanese? And then Asuka just goes, holla, holla, holla. And I was like, what am I watching right now? I'm so confused as to what's happening.
Yeah. You can book Teddy Long on Cameo now. Mm. I'll find out how much he is if anyone wants.
And the thing with Asuka's thing is that her saying holla, holla, holla wasn't funny. It was kind of cringy.
He's no longer available.
Oh, no. WWE must have taken it, you reckon?
Which is crazy because someone reviewed him today.
Oh, well, he's deleted it right now then. Exclusive on the SmackDown podcast. Teddy Long, no longer available on Cameo.
Cody, who works on the WrestleTalk website, he got one from him like 3 days ago. That's how I knew Teddy Long was. Yeah, he appeared on WWE. That means Teddy Long has been signed to a new contract. Teddy Long is going to be in Hell in a Cell.
Exclusive right here. But yeah, after that, I was like, what am I watching? This is really weird. Tucker then was next in the witness stand, and then he said that he wasn't very funny either. It was just more serious stuff of him just being like, I want to beat up you, Miz, because you're mean about Otis and you drafted Mandy Rose to Raw. And it was like, and then I got in my own head about it, because I was like, but then Tucker, you didn't get drafted and then you chose to go to Raw. Why did you do that? That doesn't make any sense, Tucker.
And also, Tucker, one of the things that Tucker was so annoyed about was the fact that Otis wouldn't stop talking to Mandy. So why would he care that much that Mandy's getting over to Rule.
I don't know. But then he says he wants to beat up Miz. Everyone kind of goes, whoa. JBL calls for a recess. And then Teddy Long just goes, I need to pee. And I was like, comedy? Is that funny?
On Cameo, you only get him for like a minute. So
that's fair. Yes. Then he had to go.
But I mean, so Tucker, Miz and Morrison, they're all Raw stars. The Raw count three. There was no one else, was there?
Asuka
is okay, four.
Raw, Ray's SmackDown, Tucker's Raw, Morrison's Raw, Miz's Raw. Yeah,
just the four then. Just the four Raw stars
on the SmackDown segment. It's fine. You know, they don't have to stick to brand splits when they're in court. You know, that's whatever.
Yeah, I guess so. If you've been invited to court, you have to attend.
Yeah. And then the third and final segment, which was straight after the second one after an ad break, was JBL giving his verdict. The one bit I did like, the through line throughout it, was the Law and Order dun dun sounds that they kept playing, and everyone for this one they just reacted to it, which was quite funny. And it was just, they just did dun dun, everyone just went like, the hell is that? Like, again, there's little bits where I'm just laughing at it, but the whole thing as a whole, I'm just like, that was not great. JBL was going to rule against the Miz because he literally doesn't have a case, because he's just saying, like, Money in the Bank holders have a year to cash in. It hasn't been a year yet, so, there's no case. But then Miz goes, well, you haven't seen this evidence, and it gets out a briefcase, hands it over to JBL.
He literally did have a case.
And, And then JBL kind of pops open the lid, and you know what's in the briefcase. It's quite clearly money, but just to make sure you know it's money, there's a really goofy cha-ching sound effect when he opens up the briefcase.
Like, it's almost like they could have edited those big dollar signs in his eyes.
It's exactly the kind of goofiness it was like.
And then you could have like put it in a sack that just said swag on it with a big dollar sign.
Yeah.
Ran out of the courtroom afterwards.
Exactly, yeah.
But even more
So then JBL succumbs to the bribe and says, nope, JK, Miz wins, lol. On Sunday at Hell in a Cell, Otis, you have to defend your Money in the Bank briefcase against the Miz.
I mean, surely, yeah, if he's the
we've
judge...
We've got a fifth match.
If he's the judge, he could have just gone, Otis, give your briefcase to the Miz. Not rather than going, Like, is that all the Miz wanted? Like, Miz was like, mate, here's loads of money if I can have a match.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense, but you know what? All of it didn't make sense, so it's fine. At least we've got a fifth match for tomorrow, which is something. I'm all for Otis versus Miz for Money in the Bank, just because I don't want to see Otis as Mr. Money in the Bank anymore. They never had any plans for him winning. It was just a bit dumb.
I think it's quite clear. And I'm going to regret saying this on Monday because it won't happen, but I think it's quite clear that Miz is winning this.
Fingers crossed, eh?
Yeah. That's what I predicted anyway on Wrestle League. So that's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah,
but did you know that now that she's on SmackDown, Zelina Vega's going to get a really big singles push?
Yeah. Super, super duper huge singles push for Zelina, JK, because Bianca Belair's here. They had Bianca Belair had a quick video package, kind of recapping all the other video packages that she's had on Raw. She came out and she dominated Zelina Vega. Maybe 2 minutes.
Thing is, Bianca Belair, and I'm not saying I want anyone to be squashed, but don't squash someone who's just challenged for the Raw Women's Championship.
Like, I get that.
You've got Billy Kay on your roster.
I get that, but I know why they did Zelina Vega, because Bianca Belair can quite easily throw her around because she's small.
And also they've had the whole Street Profits versus Andrade thing for, yeah, I don't know whether that was came into their mind.
I don't think that matters. I think that was a happy coincidence on their part. But yeah, Belair dominated. It was great. Love seeing Belair do Belair things of just throwing people around and being strong. One with a KOD in like 2 minutes was great. Love Bianca. I think she's hopefully going to be challenging for SmackDown Women's title before long.
Mm.
That would be great. And then afterwards, we had exactly the same match, but with Lars Sullivan and Shorty G instead.
Yes, and I don't know, whatever, the match was what it was. But after the match...
That's when spicy stuff happened.
Because you've got Shorty G sitting in the trainer's room. Sorry, before that, he cuts a promo basically to say, I've been overlooked, I'm sick of it, I quit. And then they're like, that's Sunday's thing, you can't really do that. You can't. So he says he quits, and then he goes backstage, and he's in the trainer's room going, ooh, my arm. Adam Pearce walks in, he's like, I don't want to be Shorty G anymore. I am Chad Gable, and I'm a real boy.
Yes, that's exactly what he said.
There was a small cheer across all fans in the world.
Amazing.
No longer Shorty G.
Legit. Like, my notes here was just like, because he said before his match with Sullivan, he was being like, look, I'm here to prove I belong here. I've been overlooked for ages. I've not had a chance to do anything here yet. I want to prove I belong here. Gets beaten in 2 minutes, says he quits. And then in the backstage bit, he's saying like, look, yeah, I quit. I quit as being Shorty G because I'm done being overlooked. He like grabs his Shorty G armbands and throws him on the floor. Just be like, look, I'm sick of being the guy who has to smile and tell everyone that they can achieve. They can do what they want. They can't achieve anything they put their minds to. But you know who can? It's an Olympian with a list of accomplishments so long you wouldn't believe. And his name is Chad Gable. And I was like, yes! No more Shorty G!
3 week push.
Totally.
He's too short to be pushed.
I would say not even 3 weeks. I don't think they're going to push him at all. I think it's just it's a name change. That's it.
Quite possibly. I don't know what belt he's going to go for. He doesn't really fit in the IC at the moment. He doesn't fit in the WWE. He hasn't got a tag partner.
He won't go for a title. He will continue to get beaten, but as Chad Gable now. And
yes.
WWE will be like, look, aren't you fans happy? He's Chad. We got rid of Shorty G. That's what you guys wanted.
He should be called Chad G. Able. Because he's able now.
After that, we got Bayley in the ring saying that she's still not going to sign the contract for Sasha. She's been doing interviews and they keep asking her about Sasha Banks. She's the SmackDown Women's Champion. Stop asking about Sasha. I'm right here. But then Sasha Banks comes out and says that she kind of outsmarts her a little bit, just saying, like, I've got the contract, you should probably sign this. And Paige's like, no, why would I do that? And then Sasha outsmarts her, she beats her up a bit, and then she kind of grabs a chair, puts it around her neck, and kind of chokes her out, kind of doing a mini sort of bank statement through a chair, which was like nice.
She did on Charlotte through the metal pole thing on the episode of Raw. That was cool. I think Sasha Banks' husband is a fashion designer, is he?
Yes.
I want him to design me, because she is coming out with some absolutely awesome outfits these last few weeks.
Totally, yeah. She looks brilliant.
Yeah. So what's it? What's his name?
I forget.
Yeah. Anyway, hit me up. I'm really unfashionable. I really like this. Like I've said before. As much as this match is like a blood feud and everything, it doesn't need to be in Hell in a Cell. I don't think that really adds anything to it. I would almost prefer this was just a straight one-on-one in the ring without any gimmicks. Because I know in Hell in a Cell they can use chairs. I think chairs are going to come into a lot. And there's going to be a lot of kind of teasing of chairs around necks and people escaping a last minute and things like that. But yeah, I feel like this almost could be a foreshadow of that sort of neck choke spot could be a foreshadowing of Sunday's finish.
Ooh. Well, I've got Bayley to win on Sunday because... Oh, my God. While she's kind of got her in this choke thing, she forces Bayley to sign the contract saying she won't let go until she signs it. She signs a contract. Match is made for tomorrow. Yay. I thought this was a very nice go-home angle. Added a bit of intensity because the feud has been great through the year. It stumbled a little bit in the past couple of weeks, just like, you know, having that random match for a DQ finish was a bit lame. Mm. So I think, you know, I think this added a bit more fire to it again, which was nice.
Yeah.
After that, we got the second and third Laura and Otis bits. And then we had a match I really would have liked to seen tomorrow at Hell in a Cell, which was Seth Rollins versus Murphy.
I wouldn't be at all surprised if we do get it tomorrow.
Oh, please don't. They had a really good match and a really conclusive finish on this one. I really don't want them to redo it.
Genuinely wouldn't. Or it's, again, Seth against Dominic or something like
please
that.
Please.
On the pre-show.
Don't. But this match had a really cool video package beforehand, which was pay-per-view worthy. It recapped like Rollins and Murphy's entire history and the storyline with the Mysterios from start to finish. Like, it was a whole thing, and I was like,
it feels
like a pay-per-view match.
Yeah, it felt a bit like they put all the list of matches down for Hell in a Cell and someone accidentally wrote this one on SmackDown.
Yeah, totally. But yeah, I was like, after the video package finished, I was like, man, I really want to see this match, but not right now. I want to see it on Sunday.
Yeah.
During this match, though, Alea Mysterio was backstage watching it. Ray and Don come in just being like, what you doing? And she's like, well, I'm just watching Murphy. And they go, well, you shouldn't be doing that. Stop watching him. But the match itself, I thought, was brilliant. I thought it was really, really good. Not necessarily, it's not like the most insane, flippy, technical match ever, but I think the story through it was so good. There was, they were both kind of even to start with, but then Murphy hit a meteora off the top rope and he seemed to like land awkwardly on his arm, which he did legitimately look like he landed awkwardly. He sold it really well. And then from then, he was just selling his arm the whole time. And commentators were like, maybe he separated his shoulder. Maybe there's something going on there. Like, he rolled out the ring, went to the barricade, and was trying to, like, put his shoulder back in and stuff like that. It was really cool selling. Rollins took advantage of that. And just through the whole thing, there were times where Murphy, like, went to go for a powerbomb but didn't have his arm strength, so he just dropped Rollins. Just really cool stuff like that. And there was an amazing, really cool ending sequence that I really, really liked. When you just think that it's going to be a standard WWE TV match ending where Rollins just hits the stomp and wins, it shows that Murphy's like starting to learn and like become his own proper wrestler. Because always when he was with Rollins, he was the guy who took the pin all the time. But now he's starting to evolve into his own character and like be it on the same kind of footing as Rollins. So as Rollins goes for the stomp, he manages to counter, goes for the knee, which Rollins counters. He goes for a roll-up, which Rollins counters. And they come back again and again until Rollins manages to twist around and slam his shoulder into the mat, hit the stomp, and then pick up the win. And I was like, you could have just had the stomp and the win, but that little ending sequence just shows that like Murphy's got something in there that like maybe on a different day he could have won.
I mean, Rollins knows how to finish. Like, there's something good, like, he's a good wrestler. He might be a bit of an idiot on Twitter and stuff like that, but he really knows how to book a finish. I mean, remember that AJ Styles match where he goes for the stomp and somehow Styles manages to get him into a Styles Clash. Like, one of the craziest things I've ever seen. But he, like, throughout his career, he's just knows how to change a finish so that it's not just gut kick, stomp.
Mm-hmm. Like, totally, yeah.
He just knows.
And then there's Hell in a Cell 2019, but we won't talk about that one.
He didn't book that.
Yeah. But yeah, Rollins won with the stomp. Really, really cool match. And quite like a decisive finish, but you get the sense that like on another day, Murphy could have done it.
Yeah.
But then afterwards, Rollins grabs a kendo stick and it looks like he's going to start beating on Murphy again. Leah Mysterio comes out and says she's going to... they show her backstage at first and she says, I'm going to go help. Just because we need that, I guess. And then she comes out and she doesn't know what to do. She's kind of standing at ringside while he just starts to beat up Murphy. And she's like, I've got to do something. She dives into the ring and just throws herself in the way. And Rollins just stops and he's like, huh, weird.
Do you think
cool.
Aaliyah is going to take a stomp at some point, which is going to lead to a final Ray versus Rollins match?
No.
She's got so much hair that she could sort of go near the mat and it would look like her head. Because she's not a trained wrestler, is she?
Not a stomp. Yeah, like I said, she's like you just said, she's not a trained wrestler. I don't think she'd take a stomp. Maybe she could take like a punch or something, but not a stomp. I think that's too much. But yeah, she came out.
It's hard to take a punch. The stomp, you can pretend, I don't know.
Nah, I think there's much more protection from the person doing it when you're doing a punch as opposed to when you're taking the stomp, you have to protect yourself. So I think it's easier for like someone to protect her, Rollins to protect her if she's going to like hit her. Aaliyah saves Murphy. Dominic runs out and he's like, what are you doing? Stop protecting Murphy. This isn't our business. This isn't our fight. And then Rollins kind of sneaks up behind him and starts attacking Dominic. And Aaliyah's like, ah, my brother's getting hit. What am I supposed to be doing? And then Ray comes out with the music and all, chair in hand, and Rollins just runs away because he knows now he's outnumbered. He ain't going to last there. And then Ray and the rest of the family are like, who's right here? Stop looking after him. He's done terrible things to our family. Talking about Murphy. And she's like, he's not like Seth anymore. Do you guys not see that?
He's not like most guys.
Yeah, he's not like most Seths. While Ray and Dominic are kind of talking, Aaliyah goes and just helps Murphy get back to his feet and kind of has this weird one-arm sort of hug thing just to end the segment. And both Ray and Dom just stop talking, just looking at it, just like, what are you doing?
So here's my... Okay, so she's protecting Murphy next time. And that's when she could easily have a... I don't know why I want her to get... I just feel like it would really add something. Like, she could get stomped onto Murphy's, like, midriff. And that wouldn't hurt. I mean, he's got a...
You don't know that. I don't think she should take a stomp. That's just me. It's already a fairly dangerous move. Remember when it got banned for years?
Mm. Yeah, for no reason.
Mm, no reason at all. But yeah, I think you'd have to be trained to take it properly. And if she's going to take a stomp, I don't want it to look pants. And I think if she took a stomp, it might look pants the impact.
The Linda McMahon stunner.
Yes, exactly that. Yeah. But yeah, the segment just ends with Ray and Dom just looking at Aaliyah like, what you doing? And Aaliyah just kind of tending to Murphy. Thought it was great. As much as this story is stale, because we've seen Mysterio's versus Rollins for ages, the whole Murphy turning and the infighting between Mysterio's makes this feel a bit different now and a bit fresh. So I'm still invested in this story. I'm still excited for it. I just wish that this match was on pay-per-view. I think it would have benefited. The match itself would have benefited without the ad breaks and having a whole larger audience, I guess, for it. But then we had the main event segment, which was Roman Reigns coming out to explain his tribal consequences of the I Quit match. which was he was about to start talking before the Titantron comes up, and seemingly Jey Uso is on there, cap and bandana and everything. But swerve, it wasn't Jey, it was Jimmy. He pulls down the mask, takes off the hat, and he's like, well, maybe you could ask my brother instead. He's behind you. In comes Jey Uso, attacks Roman, gets a super kick in, gets a splash, and they get on the ramp, and they're like, yeah, we got one up on Roman. We're awesome. And Roman's like, hang on a minute, just before you start celebrating too much, here's a little bombshell. And then came in and was just like, just so you know. And now the wording of this, what he said here, I think is really interesting, because he says that, like, after you say I quit on Sunday, and I will make you quit,
yeah,
you have to fall in line and accept orders for me as your tribal chief. You will admit that I am your tribal chief. If you can't do that, you and the rest of your entire family are banished from the Samoan dynasty. And Jey and Jimmy sold this brilliantly, just like, who are you to do that kind of thing? Like, they probably were like indignantly enraged by this, which was a great sell for it.
Yeah.
So the wording of it is like, is it going to form this reported kind of like faction that they're going to be doing with Jey and Jimmy as like underlings to Roman, begrudging underlings, being like, well, we've got to, he's the head of the table, we've got to do what he says? Or are they just going to be kind of like banished from the family? Maybe that's why they stick with Roman for ages, under the threat of being banished for ages.
Yeah,
I don't know. I'm really curious.
I mean, so two things. First of all, is this going to be the tagline of her? Is it going to be Hell in a Cell, Tribal Consequences? and secondly, what I can see happening is something like they accept to be his underling, but they sort of really didn't. They're kind of acting like they really don't want to be, and then they've got two other baby faces in the ring. Oh, do you know what, guys? We're sorry that you have to do this, and then they just get super kicked, and they're like, no, we want to be in this family. Yeah, we're cool. We actually are. This is all part of the plan. This is how we wanted to get ourselves over.
I'd hate that. I wouldn't want them for it to be the plan all along was them to get in. I'd want them to be begrudging forever, and maybe they start to get used to it later, but it was never like, this was what we always wanted. Because I think that would be rubbish, and that would undermine the entire story they've been telling up to this point. But I'd really like it if they were, you know, his underlings for a while, and then maybe when The Rock comes back, they turn on Roman. And that's when they're just like, no, screw you. Rock's going to put you in your place. Rock's the head of the table. Thank you very much. Yeah. I think that's a really cool story to tell if they end up doing that. I wasn't sold on the whole Reigns faction thing to start with, because I just felt like they'd start going to the Usos do all the work, and Roman is just like, he starts becoming Baron Corbin 2.0, who just has people that take pins for him and stuff like that. And I'm like, I don't want to see Roman doing that. But I think if they continue the quality of storytelling they've been doing with Roman so far, it's going to be amazing. And I'm really looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to Sunday as a whole. So overall, I thought this was a killer episode of SmackDown. I thought this was great. I thought I had some really good go-home angles for tomorrow, which is unusual for WWE. But yeah, this felt like a go-home show. The ending bit, which I forgot to say as well, the Hell in a Cell lowered, and it was just Jey and Roman kind of staring off on other sides, on two different sides of the Hell in a Cell wall, which was cool. I liked it. More effective than Monday's one, where Drew shot himself inside with Randy and go, well, where have they gone? Who knows?
I think Jey's going off the top.
I hope not. I don't want to see anyone do off the top Hell in a Cell spot anymore. I don't want to say it's overdone, but it is overdone.
But the way he climbed the cell at the end, I just felt like that was a bit of foreshadowing. But yeah, no, I agree. I agree. It's 4 out of 5 show. I don't think there were things that I didn't like, but there was nothing that I was like, oh, that is so bad. I don't like the fact that they kind of kept going with the Otis thing. Like, they could have made that one segment. I don't like the fact that Lars Sullivan's on TV, but I'm not going, oh, so bad that it was like actually worthy of me knocking points off. So yeah, I think 4 out of 5 is a pretty fair rating.
It's an easy 4 out of 5 for me because, yeah, I thought that the Murphy-Rollins match was great. I'm really excited for Daniel Bryan's story and what's going to happen with the Intercontinental title through that. Bayley Banks, I thought, was a good go-home angle. I thought the Reigns-Uso one was a great go-home angle. Chad Gable's back, no more Shorty G. Bianca Belair looking strong. There's a lot to like on this show. And despite, you know, we have our grievances with Sullivan and the Laura and Otis stuff, I think, went on too long and wasn't always funny. There were bits that did make me laugh as well. So yeah, really easy 4 out of 5 show for me. I thought it was almost up there to be a 5, almost. Mm. But they'd have needed a few more. If Laura Notice had been hilarious all the way through, yeah, I'd have considered giving this a 5, I think, but it wasn't. So I've got an email here, Mr. Danson. I shall read out shortly. It comes from, I won't say the name yet. It says, "Hello, Wrestle Talk."
Should I guess who it was or what?
I mean, you'll see who it is through the course of the email.
But is it Dan?
It's not Dan.
Okay.
It's been a long, long time since we last spoke. Apologies for that, and please allow me to explain where I've been. Shortly after the Speaking Out movement, I decided to take a little break from wrestling media, as the updates on everything that was happening around the time was very overwhelming, and I wanted to take a step back from it all. I also went through a pretty emotional breakup, which took a bit of a toll on me, and WrestleTalk Parts of Unknown was bringing back a lot of memories of this person.
I think I know who it is.
Mm-hmm. We'll see. You can probably work out who I'm talking about, but I'd like to clarify that there's no hard feelings at all between me and my ex, and I wish her all the best in life. But despite all the negativity that was around at the time, I have some good news to give you as well. On September 26th, I officiated my first professional wrestling show with my local promotion, Phoenix Wrestling, here in Cork, Ireland, and now I'm their full-time referee. The show was called Unlock Stock and 2 Meters Apart, and it will be available on our streaming service very soon. Shameless plug. I feel really bad that it's taken me this long to get back in touch with you all, but you shall be hearing from me a lot more again, this time under a new name. Take care, lads, and much love from Phoenix Wrestling referee Joseph Tyrrell, formerly known as Dylan from Cork.
See, okay, so that was a swerve because I thought it was someone else.
Oh, who did you think it was?
You said Cork. So one of our big fans, Jaron Walker, I believe he's also just, unfortunately, he mentioned during one of the streams recently that, unfortunately, that the girl who he met through WrestleTalk.
That's right, yeah.
They are no longer together, unfortunately.
Oh, that's a shame.
But sending all our love, Jaron, and to you, Dylan. That's awesome news that you're getting in the ring and doing some refereeing. Mm-hmm. It was something I once wanted to do, but then I thought, do you know what? No, I'm not going to do that.
I'll just write about it instead.
Yeah, I'll write about it instead. And I was like, maybe I could be a ring announcer. No, because then you have to talk in front of people. No, I'm not going to do that.
And now, you know, there's no way you could talk in front of people.
No, right? See, it's not like you're on a podcast review. I can't see the people. So it's fine. I can see you.
Okay, yeah.
I know. I have genuinely terrible stage fright when it comes to... If I go on stage in front of a bunch of people, I just collapse. So
it's going to be great if we ever hold like live shows and stuff in the future.
And then, it'd be really good for it. If I'm standing with people, absolutely fine. But if I'm on my own, I feel just so singled out.
Gotcha. Yeah. Mm. He's also attached a picture of him refereeing, which I've just sent you for you to look at if you'd like to, Mr. Andy. Just a picture of him.
Which one's he?
He's the referee, you numbnuts.
Oh, I thought he might be the guy in the back crawling outside.
Very good.
What's that going? John Cena at the back there in his jorts. Well, Dylan, that's a good get.
Yeah. But thank you very much for that email. Joseph Tyrrell, formerly known as Dylan from Cork. Appreciate you very much and welcome back. Glad you came back. We've missed you.
Absolutely.
What else have you been up to, Mr. Datsun, as of late?
I've been playing more Call of Duty Warzone. My flatmate has finally moved back in, and he is a big Call of Duty player, and he's got a bunch of guys he plays with, and I'm now one of the guys who plays Call of Duty. And I was just practicing because I thought, you know what, they're quite a bit better than me, like, so I thought I'd practice by playing a couple of solo games. And I won my first solo game ever on, like, the second attempt.
Wow.
Like, I've played loads of times before, but, like, just restarted playing. My second attempt, I got 10 kills. I couldn't believe it. I know. It was
well
it was,
done.
It was crazy. So yeah, no, that's been fun. I've been doing that. After we finish the podcast recording today, I'm going on my first ever double date.
Whoa. So, in lockdown as well.
I crazy. Know, exactly. So I'm obviously adhering to tier two because I live with my girlfriend now that we're in tier two. So I've been living there for a while now. And her flatmate has started seeing a girl. So we are all going to be going to, and I know what you're going to guess, cabaret brunch. Yes, that is what we're doing.
Not what I would have guessed.
There is a bar in North London called the Zodiac Bar, which now and then holds a thing called cabaret brunch, which it's what you would imagine. It's actually drag cabaret brunch at that.
Nice.
So it'll be us eating pancakes surrounded by drag queens doing cabaret, which
fun.
Is about as sort of North London and camp as it gets. But I'm really looking forward to it.
That sounds really fun.
It should be awesome. So the flatmate has just they've just started kind of properly dating, and she was like, "Oh, who should I bring to meet this new girl I'm seeing?" And I was like, "She went, oh yeah." My flatmate and that complete weird bloke she's dating. So I'm gonna have to be on my best, absolute best behavior. She's French as well, so I'm gonna have to not do any accent.
Please don't.
I've been told that's the one. She's like, you can talk about pretty much anything, but don't do a French accent, because my girlfriend's flatmate is Scottish and she's already experienced me doing a Scottish accent. She's like, please don't do that around her. If I've been told not to, I won't.
Sure.
But
I bet you think you're on top of the world with your French accent as well. All the practice you've got doing Fleur Delacour reading out the Harry Potter series.
So last night I was just talking in a French accent just to get out of my system.
Love that as a sentence. I just have to do it.
Yeah.
Just got to, you know.
Well, it's like I used to work at Sainsbury's, which for American viewers is a one of our largest supermarket grocery stores, as you would call it. And if we ever got like anyone from somewhere else at my checkout, and they spoke in a strong accent, I would sometimes completely accidentally mimic them. And then I would realize, no. But my mind would just go like, oh, hello. And like in a kind of, I was, they would go, oh, can I have some bags, please? And I'd go, oh, of course. and then I'd realize that I'd done that. And then I had to talk in that accent for the rest of the time. Then if there was someone else after that, I would have to keep going. I would just have to hope that there was no one after that so that I could then revert back to my normal voice.
You are crazy. I love that.
You have to do that because you can't just go, hello, and then afterwards go, yes, I've got some bags for you. Welcome to Sainsbury's. But when I used to work at Waitrose, I was told off for not smiling enough. Because at Waitrose...
I can't believe that for a second.
There's a real weird thing about customer service there. You have to call everyone sir and madam.
Yeah.
And you have
to... why?
Because it's polite.
No, not that.
Because Waitrose is...
Because all the posh people shop there.
Yes. Although they don't know, because there are a amount of people who come in there who, I mean, let's face it, were just the scum of the earth, would come in and just, like, be unpleasant. So not everyone in there. I was once... every single time you met, someone came up to your checkout, you'd go, hello, sir, or hello, madam. How are you today? Would you like any carrier bags? And I just said that to this couple, and the girl was really nice. She was like,
I feel like you've told this story more.
And he just said, you know, I'm going to carry it all in my head. What the F do you think I'm going to do with it? And his girlfriend like berated him in front of me. I was like,
yeah,
I was 16. I was a grandmother.
I can't remember whether I told this story before, but I was working at a game store when the charge came in, the 5p carrier bag charge was first introduced. So we had to then enforce 5p charges in all the carry bags for, and this was around Christmas time as well.
Oh,
so people were coming in And I always remember these people kicking off about the 5p charge and carry bags when they just spent £600 on two consoles.
Yeah,
it's like 5p makes no difference to your shop.
No, my budget was £600, not £600 and 5p. They cost 20p now. You see this orange Sainsbury's bag I've got here? 20p for this. And I always forget every single week to get to bring it again. So then I'd have to spend 20p every week on a
absolutely
new
mental
Sainsbury's bag for life. But do bring your own bags into shops, because for someone who's worked in Sainsbury's and Waitrose, it makes a lot of difference, because it means that we don't have to open lots of bags for you and get really dry fingers, because we can't lick them anymore.
That's the reason. Nothing to do with the environment or anything like that. It really helps your fingers.
Now, see, I'm not a vegetarian, as you know. In fact, I'm completely opposite. I'm basically like a carnivore. Mm-hmm. But I was watching an episode of Good Mythical Morning earlier this morning, just after I'd finished my script for you. And they were talking about this thing called, is it not Honest Burger?
Beyond Burger, no?
There's Beyond Burger, and there's also, it's called Impossible Burger.
That's right, yeah.
And but there's also Beyond Burger, but they were saying how Impossible Burger is better. And the way they were like describing it, I was like, oh, mate, maybe I should be. Because they were like, it's 90% less like grass being eaten, like 93% less impact on the environment, 90% less water like used, all this sort of thing. And I was like, oh, man, like I do want to save the environment, but I really do like ham. And like, maybe, because they're saying like genuinely, they weren't being sponsored or anything. They were saying genuinely, you cannot tell. If someone gave this to you because it's in a burger, because it's not like a steak, because I think if it was like in a steak form, you'd probably have to tell. But because it's in like a minced patty form, they couldn't tell. So, I mean, it is much more expensive. Like, I will say that, but
yes,
for that 90%, I mean, if everyone did that like once a week,
I was gonna say, if you could afford it, you really should do that.
Yeah, like, and that's for me. And I eat so much meat. The other day, I had a baguette for dinner, and it was smoked ham, chicken ham, parma ham, two types of chorizo, two types of salami, and serrano ham.
So there wasn't anything else
butter
in the spaghetti? You're a madman.
Hey, it was
actual carnivore.
Good. I ate it as a reward for winning my first game, Warzone, because I was genuinely trembling after that game. Like, when you're getting down to the final 10, your heart just goes, oh, by the way, I'm here. and your hand starts sweating. And like every time you kill someone, you put the controller down, you sort of hide somewhere, put the controller in and wipe your hands on your on your trousers to kind of get the sweat off, and then pick it up again.
Oh, dude, I had that yesterday because I was playing a bit more Hades, obviously, because that's all I've been playing lately. Up to, I think, like 12 or 13 clears now on it, which is nice. But I had one yesterday where I had a really horrible build for it. Like, I was kind of half and half between two different kinds of builds, and nothing really, like, synced up, nothing worked. All the rewards and the benefits and stuff I got, none of them really worked together. I was like, man, I'm going to really struggle to actually beat the final boss here. I was like, I can do it maybe if I just don't use my weapon and I just dash around, because dashing does extra stuff. Yeah. And I got like a long range like cast thing I can use. I'll use some of that, and I'll just won't hit with my weapon, because if I start doing that, I'm just going to take loads of damage and I'll just die really quick. And I got him down to maybe, it took forever, and I got him down to maybe like, because you take his whole health bar down, and then he goes back to full, and then you have to take it all down again.
That sounds like a Nintendo game.
Oh, yeah. It's not a Nintendo game. It's done by Supergiant Games. Thank you very much.
It's on Nintendo.
And also Steam.
On the Switch.
Oh. It's not a Nintendo game. Anyway, yes. So I took him down to zero. He went back to full, and then I got him down to maybe like a quarter health left. And then I died, and I was really upset. And I was like, it took me genuinely about 15 minutes just to get him to that point, because it was just really slow ticking damage throughout the whole thing.
Yeah,
oh my gosh.
Nothing worse when you can see your health slowly going down.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, Yes. Okay.
Or in this case, very quickly down.
there are things worse in the world. However, in this particular circumstance, like when you see your health going down, be like, but I'm getting chunks of his, and you've just about learned what, like, exactly sort of where to go and stuff like that and how to move. And then you just slowly see your one go down. And it's like, well, let's face it. We're probably both going to die here, but it's just who dies a millisecond before the other one. Mm-hmm. The amount of times where I've gone, oh no, I've died. And then realize that actually, no, it's just a cut. It's just like a stopped because they've just died. Mm-hmm. And I've actually got sort of half a health left.
Yeah, it's a classic. But I believe that's all the time we've got for this episode of the SmackDown podcast. We've gone a little bit longer today, and I know it's just because you're not going to be able to get to talk to me for 2 weeks.
I know. Well, I mean, you will be. When do you actually go away?
Next Friday.
Next Friday.
First day off.
Cool.
So then, yeah, and then I won't be on the news or the podcast next Saturday. Mm-hmm. I will be doing the news the Saturday after, but I won't be on the podcast. So we'll have other people joining. Who can say who those people are? You'll have to find out by tuning in next week. But yes, thank you very much for listening, everyone. We love you very much. Take care of yourselves out there. And we'll have some more content for you soon. See you later. Bye-bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.